Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Commerce Department today says that orders to U.S. factories for long-lasting manufactured goods rose in February by the largest amount in 3 months. Durable good orders increased 2.2% last month, following a 1.3% drop in January. The February rebound was led by a 13.6% surge in orders for commercial aircraft. But a category that serves as a proxy for business investment plans fell 1.3% in February, the biggest drop since a 1.6% December decline. Agricultural trading giant Louis Dreyfus Commodities, BV, today reported a sharp drop in profit for 2013 despite rising revenue. The company, which together with Archer Daniels Midland Company, Bunge Limited, and Cargill Incorporated, dominates the global trade in agricultural commodities, said net income fell to $640 million last year from $877 million, including discounted operations in 2012. Informa Economics yesterday suggested that farmers will plant 6% more soybean acres this spring, while corn acres will drop 2.4%. Informa predicts soybean acres will go to 81.2 million, a boost of nearly 4.7 million acres from 2013 soybean plantings. Informa suggests that corn acres will be 93 million. That's a decline of 2.3 million from a year ago, and 56.648 wheat acres. USDA will give us their estimate of planted intentions next Monday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 16,365 is up 67 points. The NASDAQ is trading at 36.33, up almost 10. The S&P 500 is trading. Well, there is a little bit of a hiccup in the S&P 500 chart. We'll get you that benchmark after we hear from Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated with the latest on agricultural weather.
Most of the Midwest weather will continue to improve as we move forward through the next several days, and it looks as though there will be a rise in soil temperatures. However, the increase is probably not going to get into an optimum level for many areas because there will still be coolness down in the deeper into the soil, and we're also going to encounter some rainfall periodically and a couple of other shots of cooler air coming and going periodically. All that will likely factor into somewhat of a hesitation for some producers to get into the fields this early, and there's still plenty of time for additional warming to take place. It's just a question of whether or not that will actually occur. We do expect to see the temperatures across the Midwest rise over these next few days, and by the time we get into the early part of next week, there may be a couple of days where temperatures will be in the 40s and 50s north and 50s and 60s south, with even some 70-degree readings in portions of the southwest, and all that will certainly be welcome and supportive of raising soil temperatures. But they don't last all that long. There will be waves of precipitation moving across the Midwest. We expect the first one to begin tonight and continuing tomorrow. A follow-up system will occur as we move into Friday and on into Saturday across the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. So we really won't see a lot of good drying conditions across these areas, at least until the end of the weekend. And then at the end of the weekend, we'll have a quick 1 or 2 days worth of dry weather. And then the cold front comes across the area during midweek next week. And we'll likely see that bring more shower and thunderstorm activity to the region. That very same storm system is also expected to bring some moisture to hard red winter wheat country Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And then it will bring rain across the Midwest late Tuesday night through Thursday. And maybe enough cold air behind the system to bring on some snow in the upper parts of the Midwest. We'll continue to watch that rather closely as well. The storm system is going to produce widespread precipitation, so even though we've got these light precipitation events that are occurring from now into parts of the weekend, well, our window of opportunity for being in the fields will only be a couple days long until that midweek storm system begins to evolve, and then we'll get a bigger amount of rainfall to occur. And that's one of the reasons why I don't feel like early season planting is going to advance very well over this next full week. The temperature outlook is going to continue to bounce around a bit, but the temperatures this morning were about as cold as we're going to see it for a while. Teens and 20s were common across the Midwest this morning. We saw freezes occurring deep into the southeastern states with some damage to winter wheat. Vegetative development suspected across areas and portions of Mississippi as well as Alabama and Georgia. The damage, though, is not permanent. We won't see any production cut necessarily from this particular bout, but it's been a harsh winter for many areas across the country, and there's still a considerable amount of opinion out there that some of the wheat has been hurt enough that there may be some change in yield potentials. We don't see anything threatening, though, for most of the wheat country for the next week or so. I am still concerned about the lack of moisture in the southwestern U.S. plains. This morning, some light rain and some drizzle was reported in parts of the Texas Panhandle. And at this hour, it was moving into some of the eastern parts of the Texas Panhandle and portions of western Oklahoma. As we go through the day today, we'll likely see more of this precipitation advancing to the northeast, and Oklahoma will probably do best with up to about a half inch of moisture expected. Central Kansas and western Kansas won't do very well, and most of the far westernmost parts of the High Plains region will also do poorly. These areas are still going to be drought-stricken for an extended period of time. Temperatures this coming weekend are going to get hot across parts of the Central Plains. We'll look for highs in the 70s and 80s. Even some temperatures near 90 degrees may occur in the southwest corner of hard red winter wheat country for a brief 1 day or two. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 788, down 7 1/4. Soft May wheat, 706, down 2 1/4. May corn, 483, down 3 1/2. December, 483, no carry in the market, down 3 1/4. May soybeans, 1422 3/4, down 5 1/4. November, 1188 1/4, down 1/2. May soybean meal, 461.80, down 190. May soybean oil, 4077, up 3 cents. April live cattle, 145.97 1/2, up 160. March feeders, 177.80, up 57 1/2. April lean hogs, 120.02 1/2, and they are down 162 1/2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Got one word for you. Sideways.
Most assuredly. I think the market's been kind of trading a range for the last 3 weeks, especially in the corn market. It's really been wanting to watch the weather to some degree, and it's also looking at the quarterly grain stocks, our exports. It's been a mixed package. Technically, it's looked good, but we haven't necessarily had a catalyst to make the move. Looking at next Monday's report, however, we do have, a brief history. The last 4 years or so, it's been a fairly significant game changer. Last year, after this report, we dropped basically $1 in 2 days. The July futures did. 2012, we had a limit up day after this particular report, and in 2011, the market gained $1 in about 3 days following this report. So historically, this particular set of data does have an impact on the trade.
You know, it takes a lot of the uncertainty out of the marketplace going forward, and puts it all on Mother Nature pretty much at that point.
That's a very good way to put it. I think Mother Nature so far has not been overly cooperative, but we know that we can do things in a hurry. So I'd say once we get to the 1st of April, get that 10-day forecast, if things look a little bit more optimal, then markets will probably be mildly defensive. If we don't see anybody turning a wheel for a couple of weeks, then we'll probably be able to tack a little bit on.
In the meantime, with that kind of volatility, it would seem that producers might look at some of these prices and think about their marketing opportunities.
That's exactly what we're trying to do, is we're trying to gain that conviction to do another increment of sales. We've got much better values than we did a while ago. This is a very good opportunity to chalk the wheels on some additional bushels to make sure that this turns out to be a good year.
So the other big report that we haven't mentioned this morning is hogs and pigs. Usually it's a sleeper. I don't think it'll be a sleeper Friday.
I doubt it. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the USDA observes the loss of pigs so far and where that's going to hit the marketplace. So far, what we've ascertained is that probably about 12% of overall production has been lost for this year, and there's probably going to be a point in the summer months where actual hog kill could decline as much as 20% or more from last year. So arguably, this is going to be a real critical piece of work to observe.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace, May corn, 483 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. July, 487 and 3/4, down 3 1/2. December, 483, down 3 1/4. May soybeans, 1422 and a half, down 5 1/2. July, 1396, down 5 1/4. November, 1187 and a half, down 1 1/4. May soybean meal, 461.70, down $2. May soybean oil, 40.78, up 4 cents. April lean hogs, 120.25, and they are down 140. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.